Live from the Virtual Tone Studios in Houston, Texas, it's Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm excited today for a few reasons. One is the weather has turned here in Houston. It's actually two nights in a row. It's gotten in the 30s. We are excited because, or I'm excited because, this only takes place for about a week out of the year, and they don't run day after day. It takes about a month for it to all take place. But not to worry for the people out there to turn their heaters on. We'll be back up to 70 today in the afternoon, and over the weekend we'll be back to 80-degree weather. So crazy weather here in Houston, but glad that we got the cold. We need some of the cold weather to kill off some of the spiders. So anyway, just in case anyone was wondering how the weather was here in Houston. Great show today. You know, I've been watching the news, and of course, Obamacare is the main subject at all times. But one of the things that caught my eye, and I spoke about it on the show yesterday, was the mayor from Toronto, who has, allegedly been smoking crack and arguing with everyone. And, you know, the story goes on and on. And I try not to get too wrapped up in the news, but when you hear mayor smoking crack and 60 or 40% of the population in that area there are still backing him, it kind of makes you wonder. It kind of catches your attention. I know from myself, crack's illegal. At least I thought it was. And I didn't think that mayor and crack and all that went in the same sentence. But, hey, what do I know? I do know that as business owners, we're not supposed to we're supposed to pay very close attention to what we put on social media because it could damage our reputation. But it's a hard argument to argue or stand up for when you watch the news and you see the mayor who's smoking crack and 40% of the town is behind it. I'm confused on that. But I'm sticking to my guns. Don't post up the family reunion pictures on your Facebook page if it has anything to do with people coming and judging who you are and what your business might be like. Because after all, things happen quickly now online, and people buzz through, and they might not get a chance to have the time to learn more about who you really are or what the picture was. So watch what you put up there. Another thing in the news that I wanted to touch on real quickly, because a lot of you know that I'm not big on the news because I think it's just, could not all be true. But anyway, there is a gentleman of the age of 29 years old that was just released out of prison after 10 years, and he was found innocent of the charges he was charged for. Now, that's a major setback. My youngest is 18. I can't even imagine that whole thing happening as a parent or a child. But one of the things I was impressed was he came out with a good attitude, and he's got a book in place. And here's my point behind this, folks. If you are in troubled times, maybe not that drastic, but even in troubled times, there's a good side to everything. You might not see it at the time. You got to be a little bit patient to wait for it. But just take the side of the coin that says, I can make it, I can push through it, and there's a bigger picture at the end of this tunnel. So, like I said, it's not easy at the time. But from my own experiences at the age of 57, I know that a lot of things that I've gone through, I'm thankful for now, and at the time I hated it. So be a little bit patient. stay off the news if you can, but do find out information about how others are succeeding through their struggles, because every day is a struggle for everyone, and if it's not, you're not telling the complete truth. Love the positive attitude, though. Okay, so 347-989-1363 is the way to call into the show today. You can email me at info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. You can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and find a list of shows produced weekly across the country. We're real excited about all the hosts that we have. We bring it from corporate to holistic. So, you know, if you're looking to find out the difference between medical and holistic medicine. That's a show we have, a couple different shows, actually. If you're in corporate and you only want to talk about corporate, we have one of them as well. Check the schedule out. If it's something that fits you and you have some good information, register to be a guest. We'd love to have you on the shows. We're thankful for the opportunity to be on the Internet. And one of the statistics that I found this week when I was doing some research for a teleseries that I'm putting together or just started last week was that over 140 million, that's right, million people listen to Internet radio per month. That's statistic for the year 2013. It goes up, folks. So one of the things I want to make sure that you pay attention to is how valuable a marketing tool it is to market yourself through Internet radio interviews. And, of course, it doesn't cost anything on 95% of the shows to do that. So before everybody catches on and they start charging you to do it, develop the opportunity that's out there. Develop it into your marketing tool, something you can put on your website as a recording. Find out more about that by shooting me an email, info@toughtalkradionetwork.com, and I will gladly send you a copy of a CD that we have that you will find out more information on that. Another thing we're doing at Tough Talk Radio Network is we're putting together a compilation book. Now, it's not for everybody, but we are looking for certain people. So if that's something you're interested in, go to the website, toughtalkradionetwork.com, and click on Become an Author. Check it out. Get back to us. We're always looking to help someone promote their story and help them share their opportunity with the world. So, okay, we have a great show lined up today. I think I got through all the housekeeping. I have two guests as always. I have my first guest is Alexandra Allred, and my second guest is Jack Duffy. Now, both of these guests are from the Texas area, actually around Dallas. So that's why the show title today is Tough Talk with Texas News. And we have a lot of stuff, as always, okay? And before I bring my first guest up, I want to brag about her for a little bit, okay? She's written a lot of books, lots of books. And I love people that have written lots of books because they're getting their message out, okay? I mean, their books are White Trash, White Tree, Damaged Goods, She Cries, Swing Man, Ally Goes to School, How I Met the President, King Travis. There's all types of books, okay? Some children, some adults, some nonfiction, some fiction. So there's a lot of story behind this. What caught my eye was White Trash. Now, we all kind of think we know what that means. And when I bring Alexandra up, we're going to find out more about that. But let me just tell you a little bit about her because, well, she's a graduate from Texas A&M University with a BA in history. And as the saying goes, everyone knows once you get a degree in history, all you can really do is teach or write. Now, I don't know about that because I think she's doing a lot more than that, but that is part of her process. So I can read this bio forever, but what I like to do is bring Alexandria up and talk to her live and find out about her from her. So welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. And I had to laugh when you were talking about the weather because this is my kind of weather, too.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that you've traveled a lot when you were younger. Where are you from originally?
Well, I'm an Army brat, so I was born in Germany, and by the time I was 18, we lived in 20 places, so kind of everywhere, and I really have just been all over the map of the United States living, and then we lived in quite a few places overseas as well. So, you know, it's cliche, but for me, really and truly, home is where you hang the hat, because that's
yeah.
been my life, so. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just said I have to agree with that because a lot of people move, but after a period of time, you make it home. So,
and you learn as a kid, an Army brat as a kid, you just kind of learn to it is wherever your boxes are because there'd be times where I would just make a best friend and then I'd find out we were moving again. So There's really not a geographical location that's my home. It's just wherever I am.
And the town that you're in now, in Texas, outside of Dallas, I'm not even going to attempt to say it because I've never been able to say it all the times I've tried. Tell the people that name.
I'm in Waxahachie, Texas.
Yeah,
and it's just 20 miles south.
And there's history in that town?
There is a lot of history. For me, and what I didn't know before I moved here was this town in particular is the capital in Texas. It's the capital where movies are made because it's a landscape. It's being endorsed by Aaron Brockovich. It's going to be filmed here in this area in about 2 years. It's kind of funny that I moved to the Hollywood capital of Texas, and this is where my movie's going to be made. But
awesome.
I actually came from Midlothian, Texas, which is the cement capital of Texas, and that's why I wound up writing the book Damaged Goods and got Aaron Brockovich involved in the first place.
How cool is that? So, all right, now you got me on the fence here, now I want to know everything. So let's start. I know that traveling around the world, moving in the system in the military, you're here for a bit, you're there for a bit, you don't get time to do a lot of things, and it says that you kind of had to tell stories to yourself. Is that correct? Am I reading that right?
I did. Because my sister and I, and we really, and she's a shy person, so it was really me, and I kind of became the storyteller, the entertainer for us, because when we were constantly traveling, especially as children, there's no other children around, so you have to learn to entertain each other. And then when we were younger, we lived in Moscow, Russia, which was during the Brezhnev era, and there was no such thing as television or radio or video games or going to the mall or anything like that. So that was really, I actually started writing scripts and manuscripts. That's really kind of where it started. Because I had a choice of that or going to Russian operas and ballets, so you can guess which one I picked.
Okay, so tell me what made you decide to write a book called White Trash?
Well, we'd just come to Texas. We hadn't been here very long, and I was standing in a store, and this really gorgeous family, African-American family, walked by me. And the toddler was adorable. And as she walked by, the woman next to me said, "Oh, what a cute little nigglet." And I thought, I was stunned. I'd never heard that word before. And I was mad at myself as well because, you know, I'm not a person who would let a word like that slide, but honestly, I did because I was just so shocked that I didn't even really respond. And then when I got home, I kind of started asking some neighbors, and they'd all, you know, kind of chuckle, "Yeah, I'd heard that word before. I've heard people, my dad still says that." And so just, you know, over time, the more I started thinking about it, I thought, you know, the people who are finding this word amusing are really people who would never, ever, ever miss a Sunday service. And I just, it kind of bothered me that they've lost the irony that they would go to church and never miss a church service, but they don't think anything wrong of calling a child a nigglet, especially like it was in the form of a compliment. And so really I just started making fun of hypocrisy on all levels. And it's not just, it's called White Trash because the one thing I really wanted to talk about was, you know, you say white trash, and everybody thinks of a person who lives in a trailer park. Some of the classiest people I've had the privilege of meeting are people who live in a trailer park. You know, white trash is that person, no matter their socioeconomic background, think they're actually better than everybody else based on one thing, and then money or, in this case, skin color. And so that's really kind of what I make fun of. And it's a funny book, but it takes on some pretty serious topics.
Well, you know, you touched on something. I'm from the Northeast. I lived on the West Coast in Las Vegas for 20 years. A lot of people come through there. Back in the Northeast, you know, in the Philadelphia area, there's a certain way of thinking. I went through the South opening up riverboat casinos, and there's a whole new way of thinking. And then I came to Texas, and there's that whole other way of thinking. And I was very surprised that people, it didn't matter. You know, when you say white trash, like you said, you think trailer park, but in some areas of the South or in the country, there's that's just an opportunity because there's a lot of land that you can't judge the book by the covers, you know, as they say. Mm-hmm. And I'm blown away by the people that have tons of money and tons of title and still have that mentality of thinking. It just blows me away as well. So I was really – that's what caught my attention when I seen the book. So how long ago did you write that book?
Well, golly, now it's been about 8 years ago, but I'll tell you, it took me, it's a 400-page book, just under, and it took me 28 days to write it. I was pissed. So I write really well when I'm pissed off. And so, you know, I have to tell you, I love that what you were saying about the news, because sadly, as I've gotten into promoting books, I've found out how much misinformation, I don't want to say straight out lies, although that's there too, but is always presented to us in the media. It was because I was such a kind of a Pollyanna, I was shocked. And I don't want to name drop, but I will say this one because she's off the air now. But, you know, I went to the Ricky Lake show and my entire family was lied to our faces by their producer. It's because it's all about they have an agenda what they want to put out there, and they'll just lie just to get it out there. And so those are the kind of things that really, like you, really get me going, because there's no reason to be so negative or ugly or generate lies just for a temporary story. And so those tend to be the topics of a lot of my books.
Well, in today's market, they call that marketing.
Yeah, aggressive marketing. Hello? Oh, my God, I lost him.
Are you concerned about your job, your career, or your future? When you become CARE certified in the workplace, these concerns will be eliminated while your career soars in the process. Up until now, CARE certification was only available through company-sponsored seminars, but now you can become CARE certified in the workplace on your own time. Order Module 1 today and begin the transformation. There's unlimited opportunity in the workplace today, provided you have the right strategy. Becoming CARE certified is the right strategy. For more information and to order, go to charliespeaking.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, and we have Alexandra back up on the line. And before we went to commercial break, I want you to give everybody all your website so they can follow along with us.
Oh, that's great. It is www.allredbooks.com. Or you can even go to alexandratheauthor.com.
Okay, very good. And on your website, you know, under there's a tab for sports, and you made the women's bobsled team in 1994 for the Olympics, for the United States Olympics, and you were named Athlete of the Year by the United States Olympic Committee. And you did all this while you were 4.5 months pregnant?
Yeah, I know. I still laugh about that. I don't know what I was thinking. yes, I love sports. So
I just had a baby. I had a little girl, and I was watching ESPN and watching sports, and I saw bobsledding and thought that was about the coolest thing I'd ever seen, and I waited for the women. I wanted to watch the women, and they never came. And I did a little research, and I found out that women were not allowed in the sport because the sport was deemed too fast and too dangerous, the sleds were too heavy, yada, yada. And so I actually, at that time, I was a competitive fighter. I'm also a fourth-degree black belt. And so I started protesting that. I had never even been in a bobsled. I don't know exactly what I was thinking. I just knew that that was bull, and I started protesting it enough that somebody finally came back and said, we're thinking about starting up our first ever women's trials. Do you want to come, you big mouth? And so I kind of felt like, well, yeah, I've been kind of a big mouth about this. So I went really not knowing what to expect, and I just kept making the cuts, each cut after cut. And then by the time, almost a year later, the U.S. Nationals came around, I was pregnant. And so I just worked with some different doctors to make sure that I wasn't harming my baby, and I went for it, and I won. It's kind of surprising.
Wow. Now, yeah. I got to ask you, what was the baby, a boy or a girl?
A girl.
And
yeah.
Is she athletic?
She's very athletic. In fact, the study.
Yeah, I would hope so, right?
In fact, to make sure that to ensure her safety, I worked with this researcher, and he was working with elite athletes, and he was really excited about me because at that time he had biathletes, marathon runners, and sprinters. He'd never had, and at, when I was pregnant, I was clocked at running 21 miles an hour, and I was squatting 375. And so he really liked that I was doing such explosive plyometrics. And part of his research was he believes that the babies born to elite athletes have very low body fat, they have high cognitive skills, very verbal. And so we laugh because Katie, man, she is the poster child. She's a lean machine. All she wants to do is run, and this kid can talk.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, as I read down here, okay, I'm seeing that you played football on a women's professional football team for the Austin Rage. Now, I didn't even know there was a women's professional football team. And my, I'm going to tell you the truth. I have a son that plays semi-pro football and a son that just graduated from Katy High School as state champion last year in football. So I didn't know that they had a women's professional football team.
Yeah, and I got to, unfortunately, there is a televised women's football that they're in lingerie. I did not do that one. Sports Illustrated did a story on me after I won U.S. Nationals, and I don't know how, but anyway, they kind of stayed with me a little bit. I was doing adventure writing, and so then they asked me if I'd be willing to try out for a women's professional football team on my own. I wasn't allowed to tell them that I was with SI at the time, and so I said, okay, and I'm telling you, these women are the real deal. They're 6 foot, they're 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 300 pounds. I mean, unbelievable women. And you just, and then all shapes and sizes too, because the receivers tend to be small, but the linesmen, man, they're huge. And in fact, the first big hit I ever got was from Ann Wolf. If you Google Ann Wolf, she was recently paroled from prison, but she's a very sweet woman, but she's the only woman in history to have successfully fought professional bouts with both men and women in boxing. Like, she is seriously badass, terrifying. And she's the one that gave me my first hit in football.
Wow. Well, Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so now the joke is when I go to a chiropractor and they ask you, have you had any surgeries or injuries? Have you been hospitalized? I just write "see me" because it's a lot shorter than trying to write out all my injuries.
Well, I can't believe the achievements that you have gotten. I'm reading this. This blew me away. So you did this thing with Volvo. In 2005, Volvo magazine asked you to be the first North American journalist adventure writer to test drive the gravity car. How does that take place?
And that's funny that you said it, because that's the craziest story of all. Is I was actually in Target just doing some grocery shopping, and my cell phone rang. And at first I thought it was my husband just playing a prank on me, and it was because it was a British voice. And as it turned out, their headquarters is in London, and they needed somebody to test drive this Volvo car down a mountain. So somebody who has writing skills, but apparently someone who's idiotic enough to be willing to do this, you know, face first going down a mountain. And so somebody at the table said, it's too bad there's not somebody who's like a luge or bobsled athlete who's also a writer. And my book had just come out, Attagirl, about women in sport. And I guess somebody, well, not I guess, they told me, someone Googled bobsled and writer, and my name popped up, and they tracked me down and called me and asked me if I'd do it. And
wow.
I said, hell yes.
Wow. Wow, what a... You know, we're running out of time, and I haven't even gotten into the bulk of your interview. I mean, there's so much stuff. I need to have you back on a show. And
I would love
we
to.
Need to. Yeah, we need to get you on some of the shows in Tough Talk that are shows that hit the women's market. They target women's market because it's just incredible. A lot of women don't have the confidence that they need to bring out the greatness that they carry with them, and you're an inspiration. I mean, you're the poster child for that. This is awesome.
Oh,
awesome.
Well,
stuff.
Thank you for saying that, but I will say what you just, prior to the compliment, you're so dead on, because I meet women all the time, and I think, you are an amazing person. Why do you not see this? I would love to talk to women about that, because that's what I see all the time. Amazing, amazing people who honestly just have not tapped into their own potential.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not just women,
because
tell people, the perception is men are so confident and women are so shy. Men aren't afraid to ask, but, you know, that's just the perception. Okay,
yeah.
Just kind of like we were talking about earlier, how they make the news look a certain way, and it's just a perception. It's not the reality. And so a lot of times I think that men need to know just as much as women that each one of us, every person out there, has the ability to allow their greatness to come out. And the first step is to start telling it in a story, to get it in book form, whether it's an e-book, it's an article or something, journal. If you can read what you've done, you can start recognizing who you are, and why cheat someone else out of that opportunity of knowing how to get to that spot themselves. So I would love to make sure that we get you back on. I made some notes. I'm going to contact you off the air. There's a lot of things I'd like to get to do with you. For instance, like, you do any type of webinars or teleseries, or, you know, how long you've been doing radio shows?
About 3-4 years now.
Okay. And here's a question for you, because it's not to target you, but it's to target the listeners. What do you do with those interviews?
After you're done the interviews,
do you do anything with them?
A lot of times once I get them, I'll save the link and I'll tweet them back out there. I'll put it out on Facebook.
Good.
So you are using that opportunity.
You're using that opportunity to market yourself so that people can learn about you.
Yes.
I mean, social media is so big, and like you said, they Googled who they were looking for as someone to write and test drive a vehicle, and people would say to you, and I'm sure they say to you all the time, how does that happen? How do you get that lucky?
Yes.
It has nothing to do with luck. It just has a lot to do with putting yourself out there and making sure people know who you are, and you're a prime example of that. So,
I was going to say, and also we're out of time, but even if you Google air pollution in Texas, my name pops up now too, because I started getting really active about pollutants in the air. So, you know, to anybody, if you have a passion, once you start putting yourself out there, it gets easier and easier to find you in social media.
Now, tell me what you're doing, day to day. Like, I think I read somewhere where you teach at a college.
I do. I teach at a community college. I also teach up at a gym because I'll never go away from fitness. I believe in the depths of my soul that a person's productivity is directly linked to their health. And, you know, so when you're healthier, you're happier. When you're happier, you're more productive. So I'm always into fitness, but I also write. I have a column in a local newspaper, and then I like to try to pretend that I'm still a full-time writer when I have time. So I kind of wear a lot of different hats.
And you have three children.
I have two in college and one now in high school, and I'm here and I'm married and. And then I also continuously speak out about air quality because that's something that I just believe in so much. And so you just put yourself out there for the things that you care about and you believe in.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Hey, we're out of time, but I am so thankful to have been able to learn about you on this show. And I'm going to, if you don't mind, and excuse the way I'm saying it, is pass you around to some other radio shows because I'm really excited about what you've done. And there's some people in the Dallas area that I'd like to introduce you to that are parts of big women's groups. And you need to be speaking to eWomen and ABWA and all these different types of conferences. And a lot of them come through the Dallas area on a daily basis. So I'm going to be reaching out to you. Before we let you go, please let everyone know how they can contact you, how they can find you.
You can easily find, because it'll go directly to my email. If you go to allredbooks.com, that's allredbooks.com, and you can contact me through there. And I'm very good. I always get back to everybody. So I'd love to hear from people.
Awesome. Thanks again so much for being on our show. We so appreciate your time and your life, the way you've done things. It's just awesome. I'm just excited to meet people like that because your children know no different, so that means they're going to go out there and start exceeding what you've done, and that's so much needed in our country and in our world. So thanks again for being who you are and being with us and taking time out for us today.
Wow, thank you very much. And, hey, listen, thank you for doing what you do. So that's how people hear about it. So thank you.
Okay. You have a great day, and we'll talk soon.
Great. Thank you. I look forward to it. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now, folks, I'm going to take a commercial break. When I come back, we're going to bring up our second guest, Jack Duffy, who's from the Dallas area. And, you know, coming up is the 50th anniversary, the 22nd of this month, on the assassination of JFK. And our next guest has, he's got a lot of background on this. He's even written a book about it. So when we come back, we're going to bring Jack Duffy up on the line. So stick with us and make sure to go check out Alexandra Poe Allred.com and find Alexandra as well. So we'll be right back after this here short break.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at LifesIssuesWithLloydRosen.com.
If you're ready to transform your business from one that is constantly starved for new customers to one that is constantly expanding, I've got great news for you. In her new book, Your Pot of Gold is a Handshake Away, entrepreneur, business coach, radio show host, and motivational speaker Linda Ballesteros will show you step-by-step how to quickly grow your business through referrals. Let Linda lead you to financial greatness. Order your copy today at lindaballesteros.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to toughtalkwithtonygambone.com.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, and it's a great interview with Alexandra Allred. And we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of the assassination of JFK. And my next guest has, he wrote a book about this, and this is something that he's been following for over 40 years. Still haunts him today, the different things of why the JFK assassination even took place. So what I want to do is bring Jack Duffy up on the show. And Jack, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
And Jack, a couple of things. I know that you're in the Fort Worth area. Is that where you're from originally?
Yes, I grew up here and lived here all my life, so I'm a native of this area.
So when the assassination happened, that's kind of in your backyard, right?
Yes.
The area?
I was in second grade at Bruce Schilke Elementary in Fort Worth, Texas, the day it happened, so I remember it still pretty well as a young person.
Yeah, yeah. And so people can find this information about Jack at jackduffylaw.com. And Jack, you've been a lawyer for how many years?
Going on about 22 now.
22. So much like myself, we started working right from the third grade. Because it's hard to believe that young guys like us are still doing this. Anyway, the man from 2063 is, I mean, when I seen this advertisement, I reached out to you because that time of my life, my grandmother passed a year prior to that day on that day. So in my family, that day was very, it was already an emotional day to start with, and then that took place. So I've always been able to remember the date and stuff like that because of that. But what is it that made you write this book?
Well, I've always been interested in the Kennedy assassination since the early 70s when I saw the Zapruder film at a friend's house. And when I saw the film, I knew immediately that, in my opinion, that there was a shot from the front that killed the president, and that's what most people still think to this day. And that's what got my curiosity about it. And then ever since then, I've just been studying it even more intensely and collected almost every book, everything I could find on the Kennedy case. I've interviewed many, many people over the years that were involved in it as witnesses or doctors. I even talked to Marina Oswald. So it's kind of become more than just a hobby. It's almost like an outside thing that I do almost full time when I'm not practicing law now. And the fascination with the Kennedy case is never going to go away. We're always going to have a debate about whether or not there was a conspiracy, but we don't have enough time on your show probably today to get all the evidence that supports a conspiracy. But, I can try to do that in the short time that we have if you want me to.
Right. Well, yeah, I totally want to. And, I just mentioned this with my last guest. I need to talk to the producer. I need to have people like yourselves for a whole hour because there's just so much information. I know, just as the just everyday person when I was younger, and throughout the years, everyone said that it was the mob, it was the government, it was all different types of things. Then they make movies about it, and there was a movie out called Wag the Dog. I don't know if you ever seen that movie.
No, I never did. I
was
heard about it.
It's about how they create things to take place so that it takes the eye off of what the truth is. And when I watched that movie, so many other things that have taken place in history start to make a little bit of different sense to me. And so I have no problem believing that what happened to Kennedy was nowhere even close to what we know about it. And I don't know if we'll ever know the truth. What's your thinking on all that?
Well, I'm completely convinced beyond all doubt that there was a conspiracy for a lot of reasons. Oswald, for one thing, couldn't have been the only shooter if he was a shooter at all. And I could go into details about why I don't think he even shot Kennedy. But if I was going to name who I think killed the president, it's based on a lot of research and a lot of hard evidence. I think the vast majority of the hard evidence points to people connected with the CIA, organized crime figures, and anti-Castro Cubans all working together in some form of conspiracy. We're not talking about, 100 people here. It probably was a small conspiracy involving maybe 5 or 6 people at the core. And then, you go from there. People say, well, how can you have 3 different people, 3 different groups, organized together? And that doesn't sound logical. Well, actually, it is very logical because the mob and the CIA were already working together to kill Fidel Castro before Kennedy was killed. So they were already in bed with each other, plotting assassinations of other leaders. The anti-Castro Cubans were already working with the CIA to kill Castro and the mob. So they were all in a triangle of working in a partnership together to begin with. So this isn't something that just could have not have happened. The evidence, in my opinion, supports that something like this is very likely what happened. Now, whether or not Oswald was involved in the conspiracy or not, that's the million-dollar question that we don't know today. My theory is I think he was a patsy, like you said he was, that he was used by whoever planned the assassination, and then they had Ruby as part of the conspiracy to kill him to make sure he never got a chance to go to trial.
Yeah. And, 50 years later, we watch movies, and that's not even a stretch of the imagination to believe that that's what took place from what you watch on the movies. Now, I don't know how they were doing everything the way they were doing, but we know for sure that, well, let's talk about this. How about the history of the Kennedys, how they started to make their money?
Right. Well, Joseph Kennedy, the father of John F. Kennedy, was a businessman and a bootlegger, and he was involved with the mob way back during Prohibition, made tons of money, importing illegal whiskey, and he also made a lot of money in the stock market, so He has connections to some shady people years ago before his sons even got into politics. So that's where their fortune came from, primarily from their father's business enterprises.
So the question is, with that type of background, was it easy, do you think, and this is just our opinion, do you think that it was easy enough to figure that they could play it off as somebody else did it or, cause enough conversation where no one would ever find out the truth because of all the different avenues that were already in place?
Yes, I mean, this assassination, if I'm correct, was planned probably months in advance. I don't know if you're aware of this, but they were trying to, there were plots to kill Kennedy in Chicago several weeks before he came to Dallas, and that plot got exposed and thwarted. There was also a plot to kill him in Tampa, Florida, which was about a week before he came to Dallas. That got prevented. So there were known plots out there of people who were trying to kill him before he even got to Dallas. As far as why did they pick Dallas? I think one of the main reasons why he was killed there is because Oswald was there, number one. They had to have somebody that they could pin it on. They had to have the motorcade route go by the area where Oswald was going to be working so they could pin it on him. His background was perfect for a patsy. He had been in Russia. He had, supposedly was a communist, although I'm not sure that's really what he really was. A lot of people believe that was just a front he put on or an act. We don't know the whole story, but he really was a Marxist. He said he was at one time, then other people said he wasn't a Marxist. So, who was Lee Harvey Oswald? That's the big mystery to here in 2013, 50 years later. We just don't know really who this guy really was. The CIA has destroyed most of their files on Oswald. Army intelligence destroyed all their files on Oswald. I can tell people who said there's no conspiracy. If there's no conspiracy, then why would the CIA destroy everything on Oswald? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Exactly. Now, okay, so there was never a book written on him?
On who?
On Oswald.
Oh, there have been lots of books written on Oswald, yeah.
Yeah, but no one... here's my question then. With all this taking place, 50 years later, you come out with a book that talks about the man from 2063.
It's a time travel book, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Is there a certain reason why you titled it that way?
Yes. When I decided to write this book, I was thinking, you know, if I could go back in time, or anybody could go back in time and find out the truth on this thing, because realistically, I mean, the only way we're ever going to know really happened is you'd have to go back in time and witness it and get to the bottom of it when everybody's there and still alive. After 50 years, it's going to be very, very difficult to ever find out what really happened, because everybody has died who was involved in it or likely dead. So much evidence was destroyed, mishandled, it was just incompetent investigations everywhere. The autopsy was botched. So really the only way you could ever really get to the absolute truth on this thing, if it exists, is to go back and redo it all over again. And that's what the book's about. It's about a man who goes from 100 years into the future back to when it happened in a time machine, and he ends up solving the crime, finding out who did it, prevents it from happening, actually prevents the assassination. President Kennedy doesn't get killed. The conspiracy gets exposed, at least the conspiracy that I think occurred in a fictional way, and then history gets completely changed, you know, and shows how the United States avoids the Vietnam War because President Kennedy doesn't get killed. And by the way, I think that would have happened anyway had he not been killed. I think we wouldn't have been in Vietnam like we were. So the book ties in a bunch of factual information that I've come up with over the last 40 years, plus information that other researchers have come up with, and then I combine it in a kind of an entertaining story about, you know, what if this, what if that, you know, based on what we know now, this might have happened, this could have happened. So it's kind of a book that I think you can make into a very entertaining movie.
Now, the thing that just stood out to me was you said that if Kennedy wasn't assassinated or killed, that there might not have been a Vietnam War.
Right. Now, the reason why I believe that is because other people believe that as well. Kennedy had signed some documents a few weeks before he was killed indicating that he was going to start a gradual pullout of all troops and advisors from South Vietnam. That's on record. I mean, there's a document that proves that. He also told his closest advisors before he was killed that he was going to start pulling out of Vietnam. He didn't believe that we could win the war there, that it wasn't worth fighting, and he didn't want to commit ground troops in a long war in Asia. So he had already indicated he was going to do that. The CIA and the military knew he was going to do that. That is part of the reason why I believe they were involved in a plot to get rid of him, because that was going to cost the military billions of dollars in money if we didn't go to war in Vietnam. A lot of it was about money. The CIA didn't want us to pull out of there. They wanted to fight the war in Vietnam. And, of course, we know what history has shown happened in Vietnam after Johnson escalated the war. We ended up losing the war and having to pull out in disgrace. We lost 58,000 men over there for nothing.
Yeah, that's amazing. And not only the amount of men that we lost there, but how about the people that are still suffering from the consequences today? I mean, that's just unbelievable. Now, in the year 2063, do you think that, you know, because as time goes on, history comes out, and do you think that the history behind this will change by then?
Well, I don't know. I probably won't be around when that happens.
yeah, I hear you, pal.
I mean, the truth may come out someday. I mean, I'm not saying it won't. I don't know. But we don't know what really the truth is. I mean, what they tell us 30, 40 years from now is the truth. You know, how can we completely be sure that that's really what happened? For all we know, they could be throwing another red herring out to us, you know, saying, well, this is what happened when that's not really what happened. So I think, unfortunately, they have muddied the water so much because intentionally or unintentionally, but the waters have been muddied so thoroughly by the government and by the investigating agencies on this thing that I'm not sure we're ever going to get the whole story on this, and that's really a tragedy for this country.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And now, time goes really quick here, Jack. I have a question from someone on Facebook that wants to know have you been approached to make a movie out of this?
No, I haven't. But, you know, who knows? Maybe somebody in Hollywood will read the book and like it, and you never know. But I think it would make a good movie.
Yeah, I think so, too. Have you shopped the book to that process or for that process?
Well, I've got a publicist who's, you know, doing that for me right now, and he's mm-hmm. got some connections there in Hollywood, and so we'll see, you know, what happens. There's a certain way you have to go through channels. You can't just mail a manuscript to some producer.
Right.
You have to go through the right channel so they won't even look at it. So hopefully something will work out, and if somebody likes the book, maybe they'll contact me, and maybe who knows what might happen.
Let's tell everybody where they can purchase the book.
Sure. It's available through Amazon.com. It just came out on audiobook, by the way, so now it's available in audiobook. It's in paperback and Kindle, and it's also available through Barnes & Noble's bookstores throughout the United States and from the publisher Tate Publishing, T-A-T-E, publishing.com. I also have a website, themanfrom2063.com, where they can purchase the book off that, too.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I can't wait to read the book because there is, well, this is history, and it's fascinating. I've heard about this. You know, I was 7 years old when this took place. So, you know, it's just been part of my life. And now to know that I didn't know that it could have changed the whole Vietnam War thing. I didn't know that part of it, and maybe I just should read more. But so to me, I'm for that alone, I want to learn more about the book. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that could find a lot of reasons why they want to read the book, whether they are younger and don't know anything about it, or they were living through that time, or just something as simple as what I just discovered. So I think this is going to be a big success, and I think that the date of the 22nd coming out should boost book sales. Are you going to be doing a book signing on that day anywhere in Dallas by chance?
Yeah, I will be over in Dallas all day on the anniversary, and I'll be, you know, signing books there at a seminar. So, yeah, it's going to be a really, really interesting day. I do want to point one thing out real quick on your show, that a lot of documentaries have been coming out recently trying to say there was no conspiracy on this thing. Like one was on last night. Nova put a document on the TV last night, and I'm sure a lot of people saw it. And they came up with this late technology that they started using to try to prove that the Warren Commission was correct and there was no conspiracy. And unless people really understand the evidence on this thing, they get bamboozled when they see this type of stuff. It looks pretty impressive to them. But I can promise you what was on that program last night is not anywhere near close to being the truth. It was very distorted, very inaccurate. I wish I had more time to talk about it, but they didn't go into a lot of the evidence that proves the medical evidence, for instance, that proves that a shot came from the right front. None of that was ever mentioned in the program. So all these documentaries are making some kind of crazy effort. I don't know why they're doing it, to try to convince the parent America that Oswald killed Kennedy, when 75% of this country doesn't believe that.
Right. Well, it doesn't take much convincing, at least for me. In my office, CNN is on most of the time. And when I have to mute the show because I can't stand what I'm hearing, the way our government acts today, as rude and ignorant, I don't even know the right words to use. 50 years later, it's still going on, the same cover-ups, the same baloney. I don't have a trouble at all believing that until I die and years later, they won't let things out because of the pride and egos that they have, and the truth will never be known about so many different things. And it's a shame that people have suffered over the years because of it, like the Vietnam War. And you know, it's just a shame we can't all come together and just really put down some things that will help people understand the history of our country. And I applaud you for taking the time out to do this and being so passionate about the truth being heard. And I'm thinking that come on the 22nd of this month, there should be tons of opportunity for you to be recognized. And you're in the city where they do a lot of movie sets up there in Dallas.
Yes.
So, you know, there's a lot of people in that area that recognize that kind of thing. So I hope to see this as a movie. I really appreciate your passion for it, and once again, tell everyone how they can find the book, and please, and then I have another question for you. Another question here. Is there another book coming out?
Somebody wants to know if I'm writing another book?
Yes.
Yes, I am. It's not a Kennedy book. It's about, it's like a James Bond type thing. I don't want to get too much into the plot yet, but I've written about 10 chapters so far. It's going to be about two Navy SEALs, fictional people who are Navy SEALs, who are kind of like James Bond themselves from the American standpoint, and they're going to be fighting a massive global terrorist network that's basically taking over all the terrorist organizations throughout the world. It's going to be very much like Sean Connery-type Bond stuff from the 60s that I grew up with. So it should
now,
be pretty interesting.
Do you still like watching those types of movies? Like James Bond has changed over the years, and a lot of people have come out, you know, China kind of feeding off that whole concept, but do you still enjoy going to the movies and watching those kind of movies?
Oh, I watch the James Bond reruns all the time with Sean Connery. I mean, those are classic movies. You just, you know, they don't get any better than that.
My wife gives me a hard time all the time about, you know, and she sees that on, like, she says, you know, isn't this like the 100th time you watch it? I said, yeah, but, you know, I still like it. So, okay, so you have another book coming out. I hope you come back and let us know about that when it's ready. And let every can people go to the book signing where you're going to be at? I mean, is that open to the public?
It's going to be at the Adolphus Hotel downtown Dallas. So that's where all the authors are going to be that will be signing books. So I guess you'll have to come to Dallas, obviously, to be able to do it. So
right.
So
it's a big event for authors.
Yes, they're having a big section where a bunch of authors are going to be there signing their books. So,
yeah. If people are interested in that, can they find it somewhere on your website?
It's not on my website, but it's in the Adolphus Hotel is a big hotel in downtown Dallas. They can probably look it up on or Google it and find out where it is if they want to fly into Dallas and be there. So,
okay, very good. Well, we're just about out of time, Jack, and I so appreciate your taking time out for us today, and I do want to get you back on our shows. We do 12 different shows a week, and there are some people that are our age that I have one gentleman does a show on Monday nights called Corporate Talk, and, you know, I think corporate law and political law all kind of run together. It's kind of controlled to be only what they want it to be, and the truth is never let out all the time. So I know that Charlie would love to have you on his show. So I'm going to reach out to you and them and do some introductions and see if I can get you on some other shows to help promote this as well.
Sure. I'd like to have some more time to go into more of the evidence when we have more time to do it.
I will get you rescheduled for my show for a whole hour as well.
Okay. Well, it's been great talking to you today.
And thank you, Jack. And thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for being so passionate about it as well.
Well, thank you.
Okay. So, folks, we had an incredible show today. I mean, you know, we did talk a lot about what Texas News is the title of the show. From Alexandra Allred, Texas A&M graduate, to Jack Duffy, who has written a book, who is very passionate for the last 40 years of finding out the truth about JFK, which the anniversary date, November 22nd, will be coming up. And I recommend purchasing the book. Why? Well, just for the reason that Jack mentioned, that there's a lot of documentaries that aren't true. So if you believe everything you see on the television, well, shame on you. But if you don't and you want to find out more information, go to the man from 2063. That's the number, 2063.com. Check out the book. Okay, it's a book that I look forward to reading. So make sure to check it out and make sure to tune in every Thursday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. We love the opportunity to share everyone's message with the world. We have shows on weekly, 2 to 3 shows a day, every day of the week. Go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and check out the host tab, and it'll show you the whole list of shows that we have. And we're always looking to find people to bring their message to our audience, so fill out a registration form if it fits your need. That's our show for today. Make sure to tune in next week, like I said, Thursday at 9 a.m. Central Time. We appreciate everyone's opportunity of being a part of our show today, so thank you.
This has been another edition of Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com.